that I believe, again, the principles, anytime we study God's Word, the principles apply to everybody. So whether we're a mother or not, we may be a woman who's not married or someone who doesn't have any children. You may be a man, but God's Word applies to all of us. And so I think there's principles here that we all can see today. But I'd like to focus on our moms today. And before I do that, let's just pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for all that you are. We love you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation that you've given to us in him. Thank you for all that we have, Lord, because of that. Your Holy Spirit who indwells all those who place their faith in you. Lord, thank you for the change that you bring about in our life. Thank you for your word. And Lord, it's through your word that we can know you. It's only through your word that we can really understand what it is that you have for us. And Lord, this morning as we look at the passage that we'll be studying today, Lord, I just thank you for the way that you have described the excellent wife and mother. The things that you desire to do in the life of a woman. And Lord, I just pray that you would lead us and guide us by your Spirit today. I pray this would be a blessing. We thank you so much for the mothers who are represented here, each one. Lord, thank you for them. I just pray that today would be just an encouraging day for them, that they would really know just how much they are loved and appreciated. And so I just commit this time now to you. Apply truth to our hearts where you see our need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. One day a teacher sent a young boy home from school with a note that read this: "I am sorry, but your child is unable to learn. We cannot do anything for him." His mother wrote back to that teacher and said, "You just do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself." And she did. That young boy was Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison grew up to be described as America's greatest inventor. Again, his inventions impact the world. He developed many devices that, again, greatly influenced life around the world, even today. Some of those inventions included the telegraph, the phonograph, the motion picture camera, as well as the electric light bulb. This was a boy who the teacher said, "We just can't teach him. He won't learn." See, that's a mother's touch. Listen to the tribute that Thomas Edison wrote about his mother. He said, and I quote, "I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I would never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy. And with a mother of different mental caliber," that's a nice way of saying that she was somebody with a different mental caliber would be like this teacher who would have given up. "A mother with a different mental caliber, I would have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me," end quote. That's what Thomas Edison said about his mother. Mothers have tremendous impact and influence in the lives of their children. I know my own mother has in my life, and I'm sure many of us can say the same thing. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I want to take time to honor them by looking at one of the best-known passages in Scripture that pays tribute to mothers. And it is the description of the excellent wife, the excellent mother in Proverbs chapter 31. Now, although this beautiful portrait of a worthy woman is written by a man, King Lemuel, whom no one knows anything about, actually. I mean, we've got some traditions that say who he was, but no one knows exactly. But God used him to put a chapter in his word that addresses women. But I think it's vitally important to understand that in verse 1, he actually tells us what he says his mother taught him. So he's just basically saying what his mom told him about what he's going to tell us here. Therefore, the description of the excellent wife and mother is by a wife and a mother. So this is not some man's view on what an excellent wife and mother is. This is a woman's view. Again, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And this was the prayer of every Jewish mother for her daughters, as well as for the future wife of her sons. So this is a very important passage that we'll be looking at this morning. Now, to make it easier to remember, and again, Jewish tradition says that they'd sit around the table and they would teach this to their children, to their sons as well as their daughters. But to make it easier to remember, these 22 verses are arranged in an acrostic in Hebrew, where each verse begins with a different Hebrew letter according to the order of the Hebrew alphabet. So again, this was very instrumental in the teaching of children, so that they understood what it was that God desired. Now, this passage, and this isn't the first time I've spoken on it, this is going to be new and fresh, but I know that every time I bring up Hebrew or Proverbs 31, many women feel intimidated or discouraged right from the get-go. It's like, how in the world am I going to live up to that? You know, this was never intended to be that. This is a pattern. This is a model for women to strive after. Again, in dependence on the Lord and His grace. This is what God has given to us, and He knows that none of us can live up to the standards that He presents before us apart from His grace and His power in our lives. And so this is to be an encouraging time, I hope, and I pray. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. And in this chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 31 this morning. And we're going to be looking at seven realities of an excellent wife and mother that make a tremendous impact for good on her family and community. Now, whether that's a community outside the walls or that's the Christian community. Again, an excellent woman, her life bears fruit and impacts everybody around her, those closest to her and her family, as well as those elsewhere. The first reality I want us to look at this morning of this excellent wife and mother is this: her worth is priceless. Her worth is priceless. Look at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. Now, the word excellent here has the basic idea of strength and influence. When used of a woman, it speaks of her virtuous or her worthy character, which stands in stark contrast to the foolish and immoral character of the woman that is talked about earlier in Proverbs. So you see this contrast between this excellent, wise, worthy woman in contrast to another woman who is foolish and who has no interest in the Lord. Now, a beautiful example of such an excellent woman is Ruth. Ruth in the Old Testament. Ruth, in my home Bible study, we're actually going through the book of Ruth. So if you want to get more on Ruth, I invite you to come to that. We're going to be starting chapter 2 next week. But in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, Boaz calls Ruth a woman of excellence. You see, she is the Proverbs 31 woman that is, in many ways, it's being described here. And yet, as you understand the life of Ruth, as far as her abilities, her talents, and some of those things, they weren't anything like what's described in chapter 31 of Proverbs. And so, again, as we'll see, the issue here is not one's talent. It's not those type of things. It's God has created every woman unique. It's the issues of the character of the heart, the attitude that we're looking at. Now, the question, an excellent wife who can find, does not suggest that such a woman is non-existent. Rather, that they should be deeply admired because they're rare. An excellent woman is rare. She is truly a gift from God. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing. It obtains favor from the Lord." Then in chapter 19, verse 24, goes on to say, "A prudent wife," that's the excellent wife, "is from the Lord." She's a gift from the Lord. And so it's not like they're not there. Don't think for a minute that an excellent wife is harder to find than an excellent husband, because that's just not true. Proverbs 20, verse 6 declares, "Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man?" What we're looking at here is men and women of character who really love the Lord, who put Jesus first in their lives. Both men and women of excellence, those who are of this virtuous, worthy character, have always been in the minority. They've always been in the minority. And yet, by the grace of God and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, when we are truly serious about living a life that's pleasing to Him, God works in our lives and He develops us. He makes us more and more conformed into the image of Christ, where we become an excellent woman, an excellent man. And notice here in verse 10, the worth, the value of such an excellent wife is far above jewels. The worth of having a woman like this is far above jewels. The word jewels here is a general term for precious stones of any kind. Rubies, pearls, again, any kind of valuable jewel. Her worth is far above that very thing. In ancient times, the world's measure of a person's value depended upon the amount of money that they had, whether it's gold. Back in that time, it was gold, it was jewels, silver. You know, today, things haven't really changed a whole lot. You know, we see that people value those things. They put value on that. If you have that, then you're valued, then you're respected. That's not God's estimation. That's not His value system. In God's estimation, having an excellent wife is far above the most valuable currency of the day. In other words, she is a priceless treasure. She's a gift from God. We as husbands must never forget that the most precious treasure that we possess is not our cars, it's not our houses, it's not our lands, it's not our money, our bank account. It's our wives. The most precious treasure that we have is our wives. She is a gift from God. They're not perfect, neither are we. But we must not take them for granted. So the first reality of an excellent wife is that her worth is priceless. The second reality is her trustworthiness is impeccable. Her trustworthiness is impeccable. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack. The husband of the excellent wife is referred to four times in these 22 verses. You see, the most important relationship in the home is the relationship between the husband and the wife. As I say a lot in counseling couples when we're dealing with family issues, our children are welcome members into our home. We love our children, but we are to raise them up, as Psalm says, to shoot them out like arrows into the world. Once they're gone, once the nest is empty, the relationship in the home is the husband and the wife. That is the core relationship. That is the center of the home. When God instituted marriage, He said in Genesis 2:24, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You see, God designed, His design for marriage is that a husband and wife enjoy that deepest level of intimacy and oneness, spiritually, emotionally, physically. That's His design as they come together and they cleave and become one flesh. The one flesh relationship is the priority relationship in the home. And the most important element of this relationship is trust. It's trust. You see, trust is not only the foundation of a relationship, it also holds it together and enables it to be able to move forward and to grow stronger. Therefore, when trust is broken, trust is violated, it must be built back. Distrust is like a cancer that will eat away at the relationship. And therefore, there needs to be hard work that's done to build that trust back. And notice here in verse 11 that the heart of her husband trusts in her. This is a major statement of the nature of the relationship that they have. Because of her impeccable trustworthiness, her husband can do his work outside the home with absolute confidence in her honesty, her integrity, her discretion. And as a result of her trustworthiness, notice what it says, that he will have no lack of gain. In other words, he doesn't have to worry about losing what he's earned. He trusts her to take care of not only their children and their home, but also all of the resources. And as we'll see, the woman that's described here in Proverbs 31 is a very wealthy woman. So there's a lot to take care of. And her husband trusts in her. You see, it's a sign of the character that she has. He's not worried or suspicious. She's a good steward of their finances. And he knows that everything that they have is safe with her. He also trusts that her greatest desire is for his greatest good. Her greatest desire is for his greatest good. Look at verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. You see, he believes that his wife is fully committed to him to fulfill her wedding vows, to love him, to submit to him, to respect him, to honor him. She is faithful to help him, to support him, and to encourage him for his good all the days of her life. No wonder we're told in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. The third reality of the excellent wife and mother is this: her family is priority. Her family is priority. Now, the following verses that we'll be looking at here describe a wealthy woman of a large household that's living in an agricultural society. So, again, we need to understand that this is not some picture that every single woman is to be just exactly like this particular woman in every way. We don't even live in the same type of society. Not every woman is wealthy. Not every woman has the same gifts and talents that this woman does. You see, she is multi-talented in that she makes clothing for herself and her family. She operates her own business. And she buys real estate with the earnings that she has, and so she invests her money. Well, not everybody has those type of desires, gifts, or abilities. Now, all of these things are good, but every woman is different and uniquely gifted by God. Therefore, it's not the wealth or the culture or the talents or the abilities that are held up here as the model. Instead, it's the principles of her heart attitude, certain character traits that can be applied to every woman, and I would say every man as well, because these principles apply to all of us. But that's the focus that I think we need to look at as we look at these next few verses. Look at verse 13. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. You see, she finds the raw wool and flax from which she will work with her hands in order to make clothing for herself and her family. Although this particular woman and every other woman doesn't necessarily personally like all the tasks that they perform in their home, notice here that she doesn't do them begrudgingly, but in delight. It's a delightful labor of love for her family. Verse 14, she's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. In her shopping travels, as she's going around from store to store, like a merchant ship picking up cargo. Again, she searches out and finds the best deals on a variety of foods and other items for her family. Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She's up before dawn and to help feed everyone in the household, as well as to delegate work to her maidens or her servants or employees. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. You see, she's resourceful. She's industrious. She's enterprising. And out of the earnings that she makes, as we will see from trading and selling different parts of clothing, she then plants a vineyard. So again, not every woman has any desire, you know, to do that. We're all different. But again, we see the character, the hard work, the creativeness that she has. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Again, she's vigorous. She's a tireless worker. Remember, this is a large farm. This is an agricultural society. When you're on a farm, if you've ever lived on a farm, you know a farm work is hard work. You're up early, you're to bed late. And all of that hard work definitely keeps her physically fit and strong. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. You see, she's motivated by the sheer goodness of providing for her family's needs. Her diligence, her hard work continues even into the night. And isn't that true for our moms? They're up early, they're to bed late, caring for the family, the one that she cares so much for. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. Now, I know those ladies in our congregation who like to do the needlepoint and all the sewing and all that kind of stuff know exactly what this is. But these are two implements that were used to turn the raw materials of wool and flax into thread. And then she would then weave into cloth to be able to make the clothes. So this is a woman who has the ability and has, again, that heart desire to care for her family. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She spares no cost in protecting her family from the cold. Verse 22, she makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She makes her own clothes, not just those for her family. And the fact that they're costly, they're luxurious, fine linen and purple, again, it gives evidence to the fact that she is a wealthy woman. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. In ancient times, the city gates was a place where the elders or the leaders of the city would meet together to conduct business or to make decisions on different things, to judge disputes. And although this woman is a very competent woman, she has those gifts, she has those abilities. Notice that she honors her husband's leadership. She respects him, builds him up in a way that helps him to become the man that God wants him to be, and raises his stature in the eyes of others to where he is known in the gates of the city. Again, she has that kind of impact on him. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. This is where she's getting her income. Having accomplished all of her responsibilities at home, she still has, again, the ability to make some extra income in her own business. Now, the unique situation, as I said, the talents and the abilities of this woman aside, notice that her family is priority. Her family is priority. She's doing all of this for the one she loves the most, her family, for her children, for her husband. She ministers to her husband and children with a heart attitude of unconditional love, of joyful delight. Of course, there's some things no one likes to do, but she does what she does with a heart attitude of love. She cares for their needs with character traits of hard working, of diligence. She's not irresponsible and lazy, but is fully devoted to her family. And this is the very thing that the older women are commanded to teach the younger women. In Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we're told that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Again, these are principles. These are principles that are very relevant for today. This doesn't mean that it's wrong for a mother to work outside the home. You know, in some cases, it's really mandatory for them to even be able to make it. But as difficult as that may be, the excellent wife and mother keeps her family the God-given priority of her life in proper perspective. The fourth reality of the excellent wife and mother is this. Her heart is compassionate. Her heart is compassionate. Look at verse 20. I pulled this out of that whole thing dealing with the family because it kind of sets on its own. Verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. Not only does she care for the needs of her family, but she's also selfless. She's compassionate. She's generous to those who are less fortunate and are in need. She has a heart for other people. You see, love is other-centered. And she's looking outside of herself and looking at the needs of others. The phrases, extend her hands and stretches out her hands, refers to her own personal involvement in the lives of the poor and the needy. She doesn't just give money to them, but instead she personally reaches out, she assists them in whatever she can do. You know, what a wonderful demonstration of what the Bible talks about as genuine faith in God and Christ-like love. For example, in James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we're told, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you sees or says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body. So what use is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. So see, this is a demonstration of her genuine faith in God. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. She has a compassionate heart. It shows her Christ-like love for other people. The fifth reality of an excellent wife and mother is her character is beautiful. Her character is beautiful. Look at verse 25. Strength and dignity are in her clothing, are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. The excellent wife and mother is a woman of beautiful character qualities. The statement, strength and dignity are her clothing, describe the noble character that clothes her very person. She's clothed as a person in strength and dignity. The word strength here speaks about inner strength that is unwavering. It's consistent. The word dignity speaks of the quality of her character as that which is worthy, it's honored, it's to be highly esteemed. And since she is a wise woman who trusts in the Lord and His sovereign control of everything, as we will see at the end, notice here that she smiles at the future. She smiles at the future. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that can shake us up, that can make us worry, that can make us anxious. But the Lord told us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when we do that, the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we know He's there. He's with us. He is sovereign. He's in control. And this godly woman, this worthy woman, is wise and she trusts in the Lord. And therefore, she's able to smile at the future with all of its unexpected challenges because she has confidence in Him. And that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to rest in Him, to have confidence in Him. We can't figure it out. We don't know. His timing is different than our timing. But He says, trust me, rest in me. And then we can smile with confidence at the future. Then look at verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her lips. This excellent wife and mother is a woman of wisdom. and of kindness. In the New Testament, we see both of these, the mixture of truth and what? Love. Wisdom and kindness, truth and love. She has both of those. You see, to be any kind of teacher at all, whether to one's children or to other people, it begins with our character. It begins with our character. More is caught than taught. The example of our lives speaks a whole lot louder than the words that come out of our lips. Far more important than what we say is who we are. And it is the wisdom that comes from God's truth and the trials of life and the kindness that flows from Christ's love. Again, it gives credibility. It gives credibility to the words that a person speaks. It gives a powerful influence, a powerful impact on others' lives for good. And this excellent woman, again, has both. You see, for her to be perfect and have all of this, she'd be in heaven. We're not talking about a perfect person here. We're talking about qualities that are a model or they're a pattern that we are to strive for, to trust God and His grace to help us become more and more. And we will as we become more and more like Jesus Christ. The sixth reality of this excellent wife and mother is her family is appreciative. We start now seeing the impact that she's making. Look at verses 27, 29. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." The statement, she looks well to the ways of her household, speaks of her continual love for her husband, as well as her children, and caring for their needs. Again, it kind of recaps and brings her priority of her family kind of back into the picture, because it's going to now talk about her children and her husband. The statement that she does not eat the bread of idleness, again, shows her hardworking diligence in doing so. This is not a lazy person. She cares, and that motivates her to give for their good. And because of this, those who know her best praise her most. Now, that in itself is a major issue here. Because a lot of times, those who know us best have probably sometimes the least good things to say about us. That shouldn't be. For a mother, it is a tremendous joy and reward to have her children rise up and bless her. The word bless means to pronounce happiness and blessing upon someone. As grateful, God-honoring children, we have the privilege, the responsibility to show our appreciation and our appreciation too, and to honor our mother, to hold them in the highest esteem. Not because they're perfect. We're not perfect. But because of who she is and who God has placed her to be in our lives. Children only rise up and bless, I believe, when they grow in their own lives to a place of maturity, to be able to see things correctly. A lot of times, they're not at that place. And the heart's desire of a mother, what brings them the greatest joy, is that their children would do that. Notice here that it's her husband who gives, I believe, the most superlative praise. When he says to her, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." In other words, if I could do it all over again, if I could have my pick of anybody in the world, I'd still choose you above everyone else. That's what a woman wants to hear. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. What praise? What praise that comes her way from those who know her best? The seventh reality of an excellent wife and mother is this: her godliness is foremost. Her godliness is foremost. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, there's nothing wrong in itself with charm and beauty. Those aren't sinful things in themselves. Now, they can be used sinfully, but they're not sinful things in themselves. I think that the main point here is that the word charm, a physical grace or trait that fascinates, that attracts, that delights. You see, it's deceitful. It can be used in a very misleading way. Physical beauty. We didn't have anything to do with what we look like. That's God's design. That's God's territory. He made us the way that we are for a reason. But the world puts different standards on what's beautiful and what's not. And sometime in history, certain images or certain physical beauty was very beautiful to them. Other times of history, that's out, this is in. Beauty of one's face, features, form. Notice here, beauty is vain. In other words, it's fleeting. It doesn't last, especially as we grow older. And it means nothing in light of eternity. You can just flip the TV on and see that some of the most beautiful people today have some of the most black hearts in their character. Physical beauty is vain. It's not bad in itself. That's not the issue. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at what? The heart. You see, his focus is on the heart, on the character. And that's what makes this woman so beautiful. True beauty has to do with the hidden person of the heart, which is the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. You see, here we see that the secret to the noble and godly character of the excellent wife and mother and the place of honor that she has attained is because of this. She fears, or she reverences, the Lord. This is first and foremost in her life. Although this reality comes at the end, and it really belongs at the beginning. We could have started off that, you know, this whole thing with, she's a godly woman. Her godliness is foremost. But again, it closes off. It wraps all of this up and says, everything that we've seen is only because of her relationship with the Lord. The Lord is the source of all the godliness, all the character that she displays to others. Therefore, though she seeks no praise for herself, she shall be praised. Her life, as it's lived out, as God is living his life in and through her, again, it has an impact. And she's praised by her children, her husband, and others. And then look at verse 31. Give her the product of her hands. Let her works praise her in the gates. She labored hard to care for her family. Her loving works bring praise from others. We're to give her back the good that she has given to us as well as to other people. And let her receive the praise that she deserves. I believe that's what Mother's Day is all about. Not that we do that just on one day during the year. This would be something that we need to be mindful of letting our Mothers know how much we love and honor them throughout the year. But we have a special day to be able to do that, and that's what today is all about. Mothers, the description of the excellent wife and mother in this passage is meant not to be a discouragement, not to make you feel bad and guilty, to intimidate or discourage, but it's to be a pattern or model to strive after in dependence on the grace of God and to be an encouragement to your heart. Only the Lord can enable a woman to be a woman of excellence. Only the Lord can allow a man to be a man of excellence. You see, this is the Lord's work. We need Him. We need His grace. And only Him, by His grace, can enable us to make a tremendous impact for good in the lives of those that we love so much. Our family, first and foremost. And then all those around. I want to thank the women here this morning for allowing the Lord to work in your life, to work in and through you, that you would be able to impact us and our church family, that we'd be able to see God in your life and the way that He has worked to allow Jesus to be put on display in our midst. Moms, we love you. We honor you. We praise God for you. And so I just want to say, again, happy Mother's Day. We have a little small gift for you as you leave this morning. Well, let's all stand. Let's all stand. I want to pray for our mothers. If she's here, or your husbands, your wife, just grab her hand, put your arm around her, and let's pray for her at this time. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this passage that is really a tribute to mothers and the high value, the importance that you place upon them. And I just want to thank you so much for every mother who is here today, for this special day to be able to honor them. May each one of them know, feel deeply just how much they're loved and appreciated by us as their family and as a church family. Lord, you alone can make a woman of excellence. You alone can make her what it is that you want her to be. And that's true for us as men as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you will pour out your grace upon each one, strengthen them physically, emotionally, spiritually. Being a mother with kids in the home is one of the hardest of jobs. And even for those who their kids are gone, they're out of the house, there's not a day that goes by that we don't pray, that our hearts feel the pain of when our children go through difficult times. And so, Lord, I pray that you would minister to each one of them. Lord, since their impact for good never ends in the lives of their family and others, I pray that you will continue to give them your wisdom. Continue to empower them by your Spirit to truly be able to put Jesus' love on display and how they relate. Thank you so much for them. Lord, I pray that you would please fulfill every godly mother's heart's desire that all of her children will know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And I know many in our small congregation have children that don't walk with you or they don't know you. And Lord, I pray that you would just pour out your grace, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would work in these children's lives, draw them to yourself, fulfill these mothers' hearts' desire. And until that day comes, Lord, comfort their hearts, I pray, with your presence. Sustain them with your sufficient grace. Lord, I know that the greatest joy of any mother is that their children are walking according to the truth. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would minister your special grace to them. Thank you again for this opportunity to honor our mothers in this way. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly praise their worth, to tell them how much we love them. And may they know that today. Lord, and may we continue to do so throughout the year. Give them a wonderful day today, I pray. Richly bless them. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.